Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you.
All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz, which is actually kind of fun, and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles.
You guys understand what our lives look like. We are on tour. We are on television. We are hosting events. We can't be seen in the same top dress all the time. And Armoire makes our lives easy. We're able to show up looking amazing. And let me tell you something. We are hardworking women and over 45. So, you know, we gotta, you know, look good, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we all know the feeling, right? You open your closet, it is full, but you quite literally have nothing to wear. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, which is like an extinction-level event for me, you will be the best-dressed person in the room without ever having to brave a fitting room with fluorescent lights.
And we all know how we feel about those. Oh, did we mention that Armoire is also woman-founded and woman-led, okay? Like us, okay? They even spotlight women-owned designers on their website. So we know we're wearing brands that are aligned with our values. We love that we can support a business that is built by women like us. And if you are ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you must try Armoire. We promise you will never, ever be without the perfect outfit for any occasion ever again.
That's right. And right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/Frangela.
That is armoire.style. Again, that's armoire.style/Frangela to get up to 50% off your first month and never ever worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? Let me tell you, the struggle to find comfort in my body sometimes, I'm telling you, if you know what I'm talking about, and I know you do, then you have to try Hormone Harmony.
Yes, you do. The struggle is real. And Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon, y'all, for real. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds.
Wow. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life, okay? So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms with hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like...
Okay, can I just say hot flashes and night sweats? They are wrong. They're just wrong and evil.
Yes, they are. And racing thoughts and low moods. Let me tell you something. My mind is like a chattering monkey all night long.
Feeling tired all the time. Poor sleep.
Yes. And no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Okay.
I know you do.
Okay. So Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things.
And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Frangela at checkout.
That's happymammoth.com and use the code Frangela for 15% off today.
MSW Media.
I am Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela and welcome to The Final Word.
The Final Word with Frangela.
Frangela.
The final word.
Ba 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 ba.
Thank you for joining us here on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network and at MSW Media.
Because you have amazing taste.
Perfect taste.
Perfect taste. Perfect taste. And we want to thank everyone for supporting us on Patreon. All of our Patreon supporters, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you know what we give you for as a thank you for that?
I think I know.
What is it?
Is it 3 micro idiots a week?
It is. Let me tell you, you want to get some good mental health in? Go on over to Patreon and support Frangela, okay? Just for a few dollars, you get 3 micro idiots a week. There's over 500 of them for you to, I mean, you could listen to one every day of every the day. Year.
And have some for the next year. And have, ready to go. You ready to
ready
go,
to
boo.
Go. Be ready to go. Also, go on over to Cameo and get yourself a little Frangela in your pocket.
It's a video. Yes. It's a video that we make for you. You can give it as a gift or you can give it to yourself. Mm-hmm. Saying happy birthday or giving you a pep talk or someone else acknowledging somebody's bossness. Whatever you want.
Whatever you need. And you know what? Also, October 21st. Sexy Liberal at the Saban Theater here in Los Angeles. Go to sexyliberal.com and get your tickets.
That's right. It's our one show this year for 2023 before we kick off for next year, the year after. Mm-hmm. Really going to town. Go, go, go.
Go, go, go. And always join us for the third hour every Friday of the Stephanie Miller Show for the Blackest Hour in Radio.
That's right. The Black Power Hour with the blackest of black Stephanie Millers, Stephanie Miller. I just want to make an announcement. I have COVID for the third time.
Yeah, Angela's sick. Angela is not feeling well. So we're going to try to. Third time.
Let me tell you something. I want to break up with COVID really bad. no more of this getting back together. You know, oh, we're going to be friends and we end up hooking up. No.
I'm going to tell you something.
I got new rules. I count them.
Let me tell you something. COVID is that booty call. Is that booty call. It's that ratchet booty call that you know you weren't supposed to make, but you have needs. Okay.
No, you're like, you knew when you went into the drugstore and you were halfway into the building and you had forgotten your mask that you should go back and get a mask. But then you were like, COVID and I, we cool.
You're right.
Right? We cool. Right. I don't have to go back and get it. And then you know what COVID did? Showed you. You don't make good choices.
No. Nope.
Don't pick up the phone. Don't call it. if you wake up underneath COVID, you know you don't be with it.
That's right.
Dua Lipa is a philosopher. Okay.
Let me tell you something. You and COVID, if you wake up under COVID, y'all going to breakfast in the morning.
That's what I'm saying.
All right.
And friends going to be shaking their head going, you said that was the last time you were going to mess around with COVID. Look at you.
Yeah, look at
Addicted.
You.
Addicted. Look at you.
Look at you. Montana banned TikTok, y'all.
I don't understand this.
I do.
How does it work?
Okay, my question is, if you go one state over, does your TikTok work?
But I don't know how do they get it not to work in Montana. Like, this is the thing I don't understand. First of all, there's only like 30 people in Montana.
Right.
So they could just gather up people's phones and take it off. But.
For me, they were able to ban abortion. So TikTok shouldn't be that fucking hard. That's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is, you know, I have so many different feelings about it because I do believe that mentally we do not understand all of our access to social media, what it does to us. And I'm talking adults, not even the children. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that we all spend way too much time on social media. Doom scrolling wasn't a thing 20 years ago.
No, man. I'm telling you, I miss a busy signal. I miss it.
Okay.
I miss it like a pain. But I just don't understand. TikTok has told people, apparently, has said, look, don't worry about this because they're obviously going to go to court over it. But I just, the idea that, but what I, this is, okay, it hits me in this place first. You can't ban guns, but you can ban TikTok.
Exactly.
Like, this is my problem. It's like, here we are overzealously and Johnny on the spot on trying to deal with social media, but not guns.
And that's what I'm saying. They're Johnny on the spot about dealing with my body.
Oh, right.
An abortion.
So but not on keeping you alive.
No. They can't
It's confusing to me. Besides the obvious hypocrisy of talking about personal freedom and then taking it away. But on top of it, I just don't know how this works, because they're trying to say, I guess in this bill, it's very hard to understand, but they're trying to make it TikTok's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
When you start, okay, aren't they starting with the premise that TikTok is a problem?
Right.
And so how are you going to put the problem in charge of itself?
Like, exactly.
I don't even know how that's supposed to work.
Well, also, Angela, you know, the number one killer of young people in America is guns.
It's not TikTok.
It's not TikTok.
Are you sure it's not TikTok?
I can tell you. I just read the stat this morning. It's guns. It's not TikTok. Also,
okay. So what you're saying is go over the top thing. Go yeah, after the thing that's not the things that haven't been shown to necessarily do it.
Right.
Interesting idea for us.
Also, what about First Amendment rights? That in free speech, are you saying that people don't have the right to have free speech on this platform? That's my other issue when I look at it, you know?
And this is one of the few times when the words free speech get thrown around that it actually is true what they're talking about. Because often I have found the conservative minority likes to talk about free speech in terms of I have to listen to what they think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. That's not free speech. The free speech refers to the government can't tell you what you can and can't say, what you can and can't read, what you can and can't believe. This is the government doing that.
Exactly.
So why?
Yeah. And again, it is about control. And the fact that, you know, where Republicans and GOP want to control people and then say, you know, I just watched, read about the 18-year-old who shot up, had the three guns and was walking through the neighborhood, and all the guns were legal. He's a high school student, but we don't want to do anything about him getting access and having access to guns. And they were family members' guns, which means they weren't locked up properly. You know, why? Why don't we have better gun laws?
Because of TikTok.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It makes no goddamn sense. No, that's exactly my problem. I'm like, don't tell me you can do it here. You have the ability and the
wherewithal
in this situation, but not in this one.
Yep.
It's just to me, it's like, it's more of this. Yeah. Social media and social media use is a problem, like alcohol, like a lot of things. But who deals with that?
Yeah.
Do you really want it to be your state assembly? No,
I don't. Biden cut his trip to Asia short and will return to Washington to continue negotiating on lifting the debt ceiling.
Okay. I have a number of feelings.
I do too.
Number one, every time, particularly Andrea Mitchell, but every time a reporter says the debt ceiling, I need them to say these are debts that have already been incurred.
Yep.
These are things that bills that have already been charged, because they keep letting it sound like it's a budget for the future, or it's about Republican, you know, financial conservatism, which they only have when it comes to social programs or when they're not in power.
Yep.
Trump got deficit up higher than any other president. Yep. Like, they don't care about it. When they're in power, it's all about cut taxes for the rich. And when they're out of power, it's cut earnings and cut growth for everybody else. Then it's time for austerity.
Yeah. And I just have to say this. For me, I'm watching the GOP say, you know, hold the debt ceiling hostage, and literally have a gun to America's head and say, give us what we want or the budget or, you know, America gets it. You know what I mean?
And there have been multiple reports about McCarthy and McConnell and that other tool walking out of these meetings with the president giddy.
Mm-hmm.
celebrating making people who are already poor, who already have work requirements, have more work requirements, taking away healthcare from older people and from people who are differently abled. Like it's so disgusting. The attacks on people and the criminalization of poverty that is also enforced. You know that on welfare, if you get any form of welfare, you can't save money. There's a limit on how much money you can save.
That I
if
know.
You have,
if,
yeah.
If you have SSI, if you have welfare.
So you can't get out of poverty because you can't do the thing. You can't financially, you have to stay broke get the assistance to die. So they've stacked the cards against you. You're staying broke because the minute you get over a certain amount of money, which isn't enough to improve your situation, which doesn't pay for your bills, but which simply might allow you to get a foothold.
I have a friend who was talking to me about this very thing. They were on SSI, and they were saying that they had to spend through all their money. They could not show that they had any surplus at the end of the month. So you don't get to save. You don't get to save yourself out of poverty or out of your situation.
Mm-hmm. It's so messed up. So when I have to watch Kevin McCarthy and them be giddy about messing with poor people while not paying their debts, these are debts you approved.
Yeah.
These are debts that you voted for and incurred. You are the pocketbook of the government. You created these debts and now you don't want to pay for them, but you're going to punish people who you say don't pay their debts. To me, it's the Santos voting on punishing people who've committed unemployment fraud. It's the same. I'm like, it is so Omarosa, the snake eating its butt. So Omarosa bus.
Yes. Yep. And you know, George Santos, the Democrats are trying to vote to remove him for expulsion. And Kevin McCarthy is doing everything he can to keep his Georgie on board. But Speaker McCarthy said on Tuesday that he wants the House Ethics Committee to move rapidly on its investigation of George Santos after Democrats pushed to force a vote to expel the embattled congressman, which they voted to keep him.
Well, and this is the reason why. The reason that McCarthy is suddenly talking about this ethics committee and moving quickly is because the minute it goes to the ethics committee, Republicans don't have to say anything about it.
Yeah.
They don't have to vote for him or against him. They get it off. They get it off the table, so they don't have to look like they're supporting a man who is quite clearly guilty of many, 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 many crimes.
I mean, many, many, many,
he's
many,
not,
many
look,
crimes.
Idiot of the week, we are the perfect people to tell you this man, I'm not, allegedly or not, is not alleged. Is allegedly.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. And, you know, the House could consider taking up the vote to refer the matter to the Ethics Committee as soon as. And here's the thing. The Ethics Committee announced in March that it was officially moving forward with a probe into Santos.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost June.
Again, Santos hasn't been in office a year, and we managed to get that going. Trump?
Mm-hmm.
Trump.
And
I'm just saying.
Also, the very same things, I find it really interesting that he is being charged with some of the very same things that Trump has issues with, like, you know, that situation with the veteran and his dog and raising money for people who never get it.
Mm-hmm. Fake charities.
Fake charities.
Although you have to give Santos style points because there's something especially evil and especially grotesque about raising money for a homeless, sick veteran's dying service dog and not giving it to him. There's something especially gross about that. It's like he was like, no, I'm not just going to steal money. I'm going to steal money in a way that makes everybody feel dirty and wrong. Like, I'm really going to steal money.
Yeah.
Like, you got to give it up to him because that's a new low. And it's hard when you're hanging out with this crew, it's hard to get a new low. Like, for example, Rudy Giuliani.
This story to me is not getting enough eyes on it, enough eyeballs, enough people talking about it. Rudy Giuliani reportedly discussed selling presidential pardons for $2 million, which he would then split with Trump, according to a lawsuit filed by Giuliani's business development director and public relations consultant from 2019 to 2021. That's 2 years, y'all. And those are two really important years.
Two really, really, really important years. Let me ask you something, Frances. We know somebody whose husband went to prison for trying to sell Obama's Senate seat, vacated Senate seat, which, by the way, just like in this case, Giuliani, none of these pardons actually got sold. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's the same thing with, what's his name?
That was Blagojevich.
Blagojevich. They didn't actually sell it either. But yeah, he went to jail. He got a crazy sentence. He's out now. But he had to, remember, it was like, I want to say it was like 14 years or something.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was insane. And here's the thing. According to the lawsuit, Giuliani also told Noel Dunphy that he was able to break laws because he had immunity. The lawsuit, however, did not suggest any pardons were sold. Dunphy also alleged in her suit that after Giuliani hired her for $1 million a year in January 2019, he sexually assaulted and harassed her, refused to pay her wages, and often made sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks. The suit alleges that Giuliani, quote, often demanded that Dunphy work naked or in short shorts with an American flag on them that he bought for her. Adding that Giuliani, quote, demanded oral sex while he took phone calls, including with Trump, and told her that he enjoyed it, quote, because it made him feel like Bill Clinton.
You know, bring Bill into your nasty.
She's seeking a $10 million in compensation and punitive damages. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack here.
Let me fart.
You go fart this out.
Because I think that's actually the best, most succinct critique I can give of Giuliani is an extended fart.
Yes.
But the idea that Rudy Giuliani, let me be clear, anybody who gets a job with any of these people, if you for 1 minute believe you're ever going to get paid, you belong in Idiot of the Week.
Also,
there's no, these people don't pay people. $1 million a year? There's no way.
I'm just going to say it how I feel it. And I'm not, you know, trying to take anything away from this poor woman of what her experience is or was. But it is my observation that if you work with any of these, Trump or anybody below him, you have to have an expectation that they will prostitute you in some form. If you're a lawyer, if you're a woman, that they are going to take advantage of you, that you will not come out. I don't understand why people engage these people, even for money, the thought, the magical thinking about money, that they're going to get money from these people. You're not going to get any money. You're going to lose respect. You're going to get into probably some kind of legal action.
You're going to be paying lawyers.
Be paying lawyers one way, or either to defend you or to push your case. And why everybody doesn't understand this? Who thinks that the scorpion, it's like the turtle and the scorpion. That story, that old story, where the scorpion is at the edge of the beach.
Is it a turtle?
I don't know. It's something.
Whatever it is, it takes him across the.
Takes him across, right?
Right, or try.
He asks. You know, he's like, and the turtle goes. The scorpion asks, "Hey, won't you just, you know, take me across this big ass river? I can't swim. I need to get to the other side." And the turtle goes, "Why would I do that? Because you're a scorpion and you will sting me." And the scorpion says, of course, "Why would I sting you? That makes no fucking sense, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would die if I sting you." And the turtle's like, you know what?
That's true, true that.
That's true. Yeah. That's right.
Your okay, own, you know what?
Your own self-interest. Your own you know self-interest what? Will keep you safe and me safe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scorpion climbs on the turtle's back. They go get in the water. They get halfway across. And what does the scorpion do?
Does he sting the turtle?
Stings the fucking turtle.
And when the turtle looks back and asks, hey, dude, why'd you sting me? What scorpions say?
Because that's my nature.
Here we are at my the thing that I feel like I say more often than my own name. Maybe we need to really consider that people believe in the ideology that they are representing, and that being that they are in fact, these are in fact white nationalists, that these are in fact fascists, that these are in fact people who want an aristocracy, that who want to be a part of getting rid of democracy in this country. Maybe that is what that is their true goal in nature, and it isn't just the accumulation of power or even money. Because when we look at people like McConnell, McCarthy, all these people over and over again, you go, well, why would they do these things that are wildly unpopular? Or in this situation, you know, you look at this woman in getting this job, and it's in no way are we suggesting that she deserves any of this treatment. That isn't absolutely heinously wrong, or she doesn't deserve compensation for any and all of it, especially if it's true. And I have a strong belief it probably is. That's not what I'm saying or what we're saying. But what I'm saying is, maybe she believes in that agenda, and that's why she took the job, and that is why she put up, and that is why the Sidney Powell was an attorney for them, not for money,
right?
Not for fame, but because this is an agenda that she gets behind because she's an activist for it.
Ooh, baby, you know what, Angela? That's right. And you know what? This is my issue. This is my issue. That someone like Giuliani goes to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Who is supposed to be a business development director and public relations consultant for $1 million a year, but feels and knows and thinks that it's okay to add that you, including those work services, that you will be giving him oral sex, working naked, wearing what he wants you to, parading around the office and what he wants you to wear. That's fucking crazy to me, Angela.
Yeah.
Could you imagine walking into a job interview and somebody handing you the job description?
And that being in it.
And that being, this is what I'm saying.
I have to believe he didn't do that. I have to believe that these were surprise asks, that they were not. I have to believe that, because that's crazy, but it's possible.
In the 2 years, I'm sitting here going, he thought that he bought himself a combo platter of development director, public relations, and sex slave?
And I think a lot of times that we're looking at here is a person who was not only, if these things are true, horribly violated and all that, but also made a bargain that they shouldn't have made, that they hurt, I think that people, we can tell ourselves, I've been in a situation where I could tell myself that the compensation for something will be worth it, but it never is.
I'm not going to blame the victim here.
That's not all what I mean by that, but it's just that feeling like if she were to win these things, that won't take care of the pain of them. That won't. The idea is, and unfortunately with people like this, you see Trump, he loses a defamation suit in less than 48 hours later, says the exact same crap on TV
mm-hmm.
in a live program. So that there is no lesson learning.
No.
You know, so we can only hope. But I look at the situation and I'm like, all of these people are fetid. They're disgusting. They reek of criminality from the smallest to action to the greatest action. Being around, they are the people, the MAGA Republicans in government and out, really. They're the people who, if you lay down with dogs, you get fleas comes from. If you are with these people, you are either violating or violated or both.
Yeah.
That is how it works.
And you believe in that process. You support that process. Woo! We will be right back. Next up, Trump was implicated in a vote machine theft. Why isn't DOJ investigating?
This is an article from the Slate. If you want to go look it up.
Yeah, you know, there is so much just crime is what I'm trying to find. Around Trump, It's like Pigpen.
Yeah.
And it's just a cloud of crime. And well, it feels like you can't get your hands on it.
Yeah, because there's just when you're investigating one thing, another thing pops up, and it just feels like people think, oh, it's just too complicated. Now, and I'm sick of that, because let me explain to you how uncomplicated things get when you're Black in this country.
Hallelujah.
But
hallelujah.
Apparently, you may have heard about Trump trying to overturn the election.
Yeah,
in 2020. Employing a multi-pronged, is how they call it, which I deeply resent. Because when it's other people, we call it RICO violations. We call it a conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Not multi-pronged.
Conspiracy. Motherfucking conspiracy to overthrow the government. You know? And it's not okay. And he tried to seize voting machines, you know?
There's reason to believe that the stealing of the voting machines and trying to get the actual voting machines or the programming of it, that he knew about it.
Yes. Yes. This is the deal. Over the last 2 years, the scope and breadth of Trump's campaign to overturn the 2020 election has come into focus, though this particular piece has been missing from public view. What has been long clear is that the multi-pronged
makes it sound efficient.
Included pressuring state officials to make unfounded claims of voting irregularities and discard legitimate vote totals, corruptly pressuring the Department of Justice to adopt Trump's false claims of election fraud, recruiting fake electors to defy the voters' will, and pressuring Vice President Mike Pence to certify fake electors over the real ones. Most terrifyingly, Trump incited the violent and deadly January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol in an effort to exert even more pressure on Pence and prevent the certification of his electoral defeat, which he did
absolutely
all of these
they
things.
Stopped the peaceful transfer of power, period. They did
all to overthrow our democracy and defeat the constitutionally mandated transfer of power. Let me tell you something, this is really important, okay? Because what do we just see in a South American country? The guy just dissolved all the legislators so that he can't be impeached.
Yeah,
don't think that these people, the Republicans are seeing, the GOP are seeing that. Americans are waking up and seeing that they don't have control of their bodies, that these people are not here to help them in terms of their day-to-day living, that they just want to oppress and be fascists, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see that, and they know they've jerry-rigged every fucking community that they can to stay in power. These are people who are willing and ready, yep. We're ready to hand the power and control of our democracy over to Donald Trump and his cronies, and want to do it again right the fuck now.
That's right. And this is the thing I don't understand about it all. Because after the January 6th reports emerged of Trump supporters' efforts to gain access to voting systems and software in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Colorado, four states, okay?
Yeah.
Many assumed these incidents were unconnected. I didn't.
No.
I don't know who the many was. I wasn't a part of many. Because this is what I don't understand. For people who see conspiracies everywhere, when there's one in front of their face, they seem very confused by it.
Yeah.
Those are all unconnected. But during 2022... plaintiffs in a longstanding civil lawsuit against the Georgia Secretary of State unearthed evidence of another voting system software breach in Coffee County, Georgia. Documents and depositions revealed that the Coffee County software breach was directed and funded by Trump attorney Sidney Powell's organization, defending the Republic. Powell also arranged for the same operatives to access and copy voting software in Michigan and Nevada. The Coffee County breach was coordinated by Kathy Latham, the then local GOP party chair and a fake elector.
Yeah, these people got together and made a plan to steal the election. What Sidney Powell, they went out there, they seeded the ground with all their lies, and then went and tried to create and simulate the evidence for the lies. And why I am not looking at Sidney Powell in jail right the fuck now, I don't understand.
See, this is why, because Slate reviewed the committee's testimony. I'll just read the quote. But our review of the committee's testimony establishes that the unlawful scheme to copy voting system software in multiple states went straight to the top, Trump himself. During a now infamous December 18th, 2020 Oval Office meeting with Trump, attended by Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and others, during which Powell advocated the federal government seizing voting machines, Giuliani offered an alternative plan, promising that he was, quote, going to be able to secure access to voting machines in Georgia through means other than seizure. Why aren't we hearing about this?
Because, you know what? This is my problem, too. And I don't want to hear any more. Can we get past the 2020 election? You know, and I don't mean to liken it to rape in this way, but it's like, no, I can't get past my fucking rape.
No.
The rape of this country. No, I can't. I will not get up. I'm not going to be okay until motherfuckers go to jail.
They are passing. Trump says it every day. You're talking to the wrong people.
Oh my God. Okay. House Democrats introduced, we talked about that, George Santos. Yes. Okay. This next thing.
We won't have a discussion.
I need to have a discussion because I am screaming about this in my house 24/7.
Last week, Manhattan prosecutors announced manslaughter charges against Daniel Penny, the 24-year-old Long Island man who strangled Jordan Neely to death on a New York subway train last month. This story, as it has unraveled or come more into focus, is obviously drawn. There's a lot of comparisons that people have drawn to things like Bernie Goetz, who was the so-called subway vigilante, or as I call him, the racist terrorist.
Yep.
Who shot four black teenagers on a train in 1984.
Because he was scared. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you this. We talked about this before, but let me say this. The subway is a public fucking event. And if you don't, if you're too afraid, then you're going to have to figure out other means for yourself. The public system isn't for you. Okay? Because if you have to get on the subway and your first thing is to kill somebody because you feel unsafe.
Be clear. The Jordan Neely, the man who was murdered, he was apparently a very talented Michael Jackson impersonator whose mental health struggles had made him familiar to city social service workers, and who also apparently told passengers before Penny subdued and or assaulted and then subsequently murdered, in my words. Apparently he said, "I'm ready to die." Witnesses say he was hostile and erratic, but had not been explicitly
threatening. Yeah, he wasn't threatening. And in terms of physical threats, you know, he wasn't, you know, and he wasn't attacking people on the train.
No, he was threatening himself.
Yes.
He was a danger to himself.
And so why, for me, this is my question. Why did Daniel Penny take it upon himself to lay hands on that kid, on that guy, and then hold him in a chokehold for 15 minutes. Also, can I just say this? Ain't no stop between here and there in New York 15 fucking minutes.
Unless the train got stopped for some reason and nobody has said that. Stops are very, generally speaking, no. I mean, you could be on an express, but that, whatever.
All right. So he's holding this guy down for 15 minutes. So to me, you stopped at some point. Daniel Penny could have gotten off the train. He could have gotten himself away. He could have moved away. But what he did was about was controlling this black body.
The idea that any, frankly, white man gets to make decisions about whether people live or die in public based on his perception
and
of
his
the level of danger.
That's right.
In the situation, whether that be somebody knocking at his door, somebody asleep in their bed, or somebody, a crazy person on the train. And I use the word crazy not to be insulting to mental health issues, but because that's how people speak about this. If you aren't prepared, as Francis, as you started, your comment with, if you are, when you take the subway or you take any kind of public transport, what you're saying is I'm going to be interacting with the public.
Yep.
And not every member of the public is going to be comfortable to me.
Yep.
That's the reality of it.
I'm going to see people. Here's the thing. I'm going to see things on the train that aren't the things I do. I may not agree with them. I may not agree with a lifestyle. That's not none of my business. Okay? I am my business. That's it.
The idea that the normal behavior, the norm for when somebody starts going off on the train is you move away from them.
That's
you get
right.
off the train. You call the, you know, you call the police. Not you put them in a chokehold for 15 minutes till they die. And we talk about the other people on the train and people, there were people saying, hey man, let up. But I'm loath, this article that we're looking at gets into all the different people that can be blamed. I'm loath to blame anybody other than the person who actually killed him.
Yeah.
Like I feel like when we start getting into like what responsibility the other people have on the train,
mm-hmm.
like their responsibility was to not put their hands on anyone.
That's right. And they did that.
And they did that. Like, and I do I wish that somebody intervened? Yeah. But I also know that the danger that put everybody in, because this man, the only assault that they had witnessed was the person who was strangling the person. So that was a person who was a danger.
That was that to me, that is the reason why I feel like this narrative is so wrong. And they, in America, really, just because, you know, had he been a black guy choking another black guy, he'd be in jail.
Absolutely.
He'd be in jail. If he were, you know, any other kind of guy, but because he was a white young Marine, we have to somehow, some way, that 24-year-old white male Marine, his experience, his life experience, his decision making is the thing that we all are supposed to sit here and go, well, he clearly knew better in the situation. No, he didn't.
His mental health. Does that seem like a healthy reaction to somebody saying they want to die, you kill them? Like that doesn't seem to me to say that you have full functioning, whatever, good decision-making skills. Like, I don't know what.
And what I'm watching on Fox, the narrative on Fox is, you know, this is what the Democrats get because we white people are afraid in these urban cities, and you're going to get more and more of this because of crime. This is not, and the fact that they're talking about it in these terms, somebody was killed.
Well, this is the thing, and I feel like a broken record saying, when you can be underage, have guns illegally, and drive two states away to protect property that isn't yours, that nobody asked you to, from people who didn't do anything to it, and murder them, and then get those guns back and not do any time.
Yep.
Be guilty of nothing. This is what happens.
Yep. And that's why we have 18-year-old boys walking down the street, killing people indiscriminately, shooting into people's homes. Because we allow it. We allow it.
This is really, as I'm sure you're aware, because you are aware, people, there's a nationwide assault on particularly the trans community, but LGBTQ people and LGBTQIA youth in particular across this country by the GOP in acts of extreme fascism and cruelty all over. There have been 14 states so far that I'm aware of that have enacted some form of trans ban or some way to attack. From everything from don't say gay to bathroom, the trans bathroom bills. But this week,
Ron DeSantis signs a draconian anti-trans bathroom bill into law. May 17th was National Trans Visibility Day. And that was really important to, you know, because these people are really trying to sit here and say that trans people, not only do they not exist, but they're also trying to
criminalize
erase
it.
Them and penalize
them.
And criminalize their existence. And that is sick to me. That's a level of sickness I cannot handle. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed one of the most draconian bathroom bills in the country into law on Wednesday, subjecting anyone in the state over the age of 18 to criminal trespassing charges if they do not use the public bathroom that matches the sex they were assigned at birth. And can we just talk about being assigned things at birth? Because can I tell you, that shit gets fucked up at birth.
Also, Francis, help me understand, how does this get policed?
They're gonna go in your pants.
Well, that would be a huge violation of your privacy. And that means anyone can just stop you and go, I don't think you look feminine enough to use this bathroom. Let me see your genitalia.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me. And then not only do they have to examine, somebody would have to, quote, examine you, violate you that at that moment, we have to figure out what you were allegedly assigned at birth.
Yeah.
This is such a violation.
No, get ready to carry bathroom card around so that you are able, like your COVID, are able in Florida to go piss.
Oh, they're not going to get that. See, that would make too much sense. It's fucked up and wrong. Don't get me wrong. But what they want is they want to scare trans people into not existing.
Yep.
They want to say to you, look, you try to walk into this bathroom and anyone, the new law says that DeSantis signed, that someone can be charged if they don't leave a bathroom with another person when another person asks them to, meaning it allows anyone to police who belongs in which bathroom. So somebody can look at me and go, I don't want you in this bathroom, Angela, and I have to leave.
Yep.
Otherwise, I can get charged. And then if I want to fight that in some way, I then have to go to court and prove that I'm the right gender. See, so I get violated by the court and this person.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to say, people don't have to tell you why they don't want you there. It doesn't say that.
No, but they can discriminate against you.
Well, this is colored only. You know, whites only. This is absolute segregation.
It's Jim fucking Crow. And here's the thing. When we allow shit like this to go down, you know what's coming around the corner.
Yep.
They start with the most vulnerable
communities first.
Yep. Don't think that
DeSantis didn't know it was Trans Day. Didn't know that it was Trans Awareness or Trans. That's exactly why he chose that day.
Yep. Absolutely. And that is our final word. Now it's time to go get emails. Time to go get your emails.
I want to thank you for writing us at frangela08@gmail.com. It would be fabulous if I could find that piece of paper.
I got some here.
Okay, good.
Here we go. No, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, here we go.
Where is my secretary?
Here we go. I got them.
She's giving me oral sex.
Oh, Lord. Okay. This is from Vic M. It says, hello, dear Angela and Francis. Hope you are well and appreciation. Thank you for the laughs, the sanity, and the clarity. Sometimes we walk the earth feeling a tad alone, not lonely. And then an idiot episode appears in my box or the latest of your podcast shows up and voila. So as the show tune lyric from Dear Evan Hansen says, you are not alone. All the best. Be well, Vic.
Thank you, Vic. We love you. You're wonderful.
And this next one up, it says, hey, ladies, this is from Bob P. It says, Miss Twitter with you. I got banned for life for making fun of Tommy Lauren.
I believe, heroic.
It's heroic. It's nothing but heroism. I wanted to speak against Tuberville and his KKK clanship. He made millions in fame on the broken backs of mostly Black athletes. He basically owned them for 4 years of their lives as a coach at a major university. Those athletes during that time got zero for the hard work and skills they had while the coach made millions. He was the massa. His bullshit around about the military and Americans make me sick. Sorry for sporting the sports. I love you ladies so much. My picture with you both hugging me in at Asheville Sexy Liberal is my favorite meeting of a star in my life. Love you guys. Happy Mama Day, Francis. Always your greatest fan. Thank you so much.
That's sweet.
So sweet.
Just the sweet. So Asheville, sweet. Love Asheville.
Love it. I want to go back to Asheville.
I know. Love it.
I loved Asheville.
Remember that wonderful restaurant we ate at?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, they're so good. Okay. And finally, it's time for Resistance.
give you something actionable you can do to be a part of the resistance and take back our country from evil, evil hatred. Go to www.them.us. And they have an article, and we'll put this link up in the show notes.
We want you to go to 100 organizations that are supporting trans people in all 50 states. No matter where you live, you can support trans rights and livelihood. The conservative hate campaign against transgender lives, healthcare, and freedom expands every month, threatening the well-being of LGBTQ plus communities and beyond. In frightening times such as these, many folks are feeling disenfranchised and looking for a way to help, give to their comrades, and simply fight back. So we want you to go to www.them.us, all right, /story, and look to the organizations fighting back against trans legislation. And you can go there and find ways to help and
in organizations your
in your community.
Yeah, so you can do something very, you know, whether it be volunteering of your time, or if you can, of money, but, or both, hopefully, to help fight and to help show the trans community that trans rights are human rights, and that we love you for exactly yes. who you want to be and for who you are.
That's right. All day, every day. I'm Frances Callier.
I'm Angela V. Shelton.
We are Frangela. Thank you so much for listening to The Final Word!